Okay, beginning a new sugya, the Gemara is picking up on a line that appeared in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah spoke about multiple people involved in doing damage. So the Mishnah gave a very, very cryptic statement that if two people are involved in doing damage, so even though one of them only did part of the damage, he can sometimes be chayav for the entire damage. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what that means. What's the case? Give me a scenario. So the Gemara went through a whole series of different cases. One person digs half a bore, the other guy digs the other half of the bore, one guy does this kind of thing. The Gemara goes through a whole bunch of different cases. And finally, the Gemara raises the question that there seems to be another case that would also be eligible for discussion, and that's where our sugya begins. And the Gemara actually switches from the Zikin to Misa, to Ritzicha. If two people, multiple people, kill somebody together, so who exactly is Chayav Misa for that? So this is going to open up for us an entire sugya, not just in terms of Ritzicha, but in terms of some other klalim, some important rules, in terms of other areas of halacha, as relates to a multiple people being involved in multiple crimes. So comes the Gemara on the first of the Mar Mekamos, and starts out with as follows. The Suleika, is there no other case that we could discuss? Va'ika, there's another scenario of multiple people involved in something hard to decide, the following braisa. Hiku asar bnei adam be'esa machlos. If 10 people attacked somebody with 10 different sticks, you have 10 different people coming in different angles, so the first out of the braisa says that it doesn't matter whether it was all done at the same time, means that 10 people were attacking somebody simultaneous, or whether it was 10 people one after another, and the person subsequently dies, kulam p'turin. So all of the people are going to be potter. Again, as we've already seen many times, it doesn't mean that they're all great tzaddikim, these 10 people. It doesn't mean that they're going straight to Olam Haba. But it means in terms of Beis and Shamata, we cannot hold them responsible. There's no one person who we can say is Chayav Misa. We'll see in a moment what this Bechalek is all about. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro disagrees, and he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro, if it's done one after another, then the last one will actually be chayev. The one who literally puts them over the edge, who actually causes the death, will be chayev. Because he's the one who ultimately brought his death close. He's the one who really killed him. So he asks the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro, this would be a good example of Hesharitim and Mitzas Nisko, Chayev Bechol Nisko. This would be an example of somebody who didn't do the whole thing, because the first 9 people got the person to almost the brink of death, and then the last person put him over the edge. So this would be a good example that would fit into our Mishnah. If someone who did partial should be held responsible for all. So why isn't it listed? When the Gemara listed off all the cases that are alluded to by our Mishnah, why isn't this on the list? So the Gemara says, for pure technical reasons, Biktala Lo Kamayri. It's a different topic. We're learning Bava Kama. Bava Kama is dealing with damages. This is Sanhedrin. This is Misa. This is Ritzicha. This is capital cases. A different parsha entirely. That's the reason why it wasn't on the list. Or if you buy same, if you want another pure technical answer, but Pluksa Lokamayri. We're not interested in giving a machlokes. We're not talking about something that's only according to one Tana, not the other Tana. We don't get involved. So it's not that the case is wrong. The case is just not true according to many opinions. So these are, again, very, very technical reasons why it didn't make the mark, didn't make the list. But Be'ikaron, fundamentally, halachically, we have a very real issue going on here. We have a machlokes, we have a beseir and the Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, under all circumstances, the multiple hitters, the multiple rotschim, so to speak, are going to be exempt. According to Rabbi Meir, it's going to make a difference. Is it one after another, or is it mevas achas? What is the issue? What are they arguing about? So if we take a look at the second of the Mar Mekamos, where the same Gemara appears by Sechas Sanhedrin. There, not only does the Gemara quote the Brice, but the other Gemara actually explains what's going on. So let's take a look at that Brice again in the second of the Mar Mekamos, Sanhedrin 9 Ches. Tana Rabbana, we learned the Brice. Ku asar b'nei adam b'asar machlo sameis. If 10 people hit somebody, each one holding their own stick, whether they did it at the same time, or whether they did one after another, they're always going to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda Sarah says, depends. If it was one after the another, so then it's the last one who actually kills him is Chayev. So what is the Nekudas Machlokes? What are they arguing about? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora, fills us in what the point of contention was. Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. That both Rabbi Yehuda Sarah and the Rabbanan are deriving their respective halachas from the same pasuk. It's actually a pasuk we just read last week's parasha. V'ish ki yakal kol nefesh adam. The Torah speaks at the end of Parshas Emor about a Rotzeach. The Torah speaks about Rotzeach in a few places. Rotzeach appears obviously in the Seres Adibros. It appears in Parshas Mishpatim as well. And then it repeats itself in Parshas Emor, and then it shows up again a little bit later on in Parshas Maaseh. So the Torah uses the phrase Ish ki yachid kol nefesh adam. So the word kol is a very, very tricky word. It can actually be translated in two different ways, which are almost contradictory to one another. Kol could mean entire, the complete, total object, whatever we're dealing with. A kol could also mean like kol dehu, like any amount of, like any of something. So does kol mean all of something, or does kol mean any of something? So comes the Gemara and says that was exactly the point of contention between Rabbi Yisrael and the Rabbanan. So Rabbanan's opinion was kol nefesh, adi'ika kol nefesh. The only time that one is chayav misa is if one killed an entire soul, one took an entire soul. In this case, when the person was so badly beaten up, the first nine people, he reached a point where the Gemara is actually going to talk about, he meets the halacha category, it's called the gosei, so we'll have to talk about that a little bit more, what that means practically. But he reached a point where he was basically just about to die from the first nine people's wounds, and then the last person put him over the edge. It was talking the last person who gave him that last bang that actually stopped his heartbeat, whatever the definition of death is. He's the one who actually did it. But the person was just about to die anyway. So come to Rabbanan and say, that's not called Yake Kol Nefesh Adam, and therefore even the last one will be Potter. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Sava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira had the exact opposite understanding. Kol Nefesh, Kol Duhu Nefesh. Any small remnant of a nefesh, a mashu of a neshama you took away from a person, even though they were basically just about dead before, that's also called ritzicha, and you're also going to be chayav misa. So almost a technical machlokes we have a seir in the Rabbanan, which revolves around the parsha of the ritzicha. It has nothing really to do with the zikin. It's more of a Sanhedrin sugya than a Bava Kama sugya. So machlokes we have a seir in the Rabbanan, how to teach, how to darshan the phrase kol. Does kol mean kol to who? That was Rabbi Meseira. Or does kol mean hakol mikol kol, like the Rabban? But there's something that has to be understood here, and that's within the details of Rabbi Yudim and Meseira Shita, because Rabbi Yudim and Meseira seems to be almost contradictory within himself. Let's go back for a minute, back to the words of Rabbi Yudim and Meseira. So we'll go back to the second Mar Makomis again, at the end of the line, the end of the first line. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Bazecher Zeha Achron Chayev. If it was done one after another, after another, after another, then the last one is going to be Chayev, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira doesn't insist on kol to mean Hakol Mikol Kol. He doesn't need an entire nefesh. So the question becomes, if that's the case, so then what if you have 10 people hitting Bevasachas? What would Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say about that? If there were 10 people who were hitting Bevasachas, would Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say that you're chayv in that also? So logically, I would say yes, because after all, each and every person participated in a mitzvah, in a sense, of a nefesh. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, should that be the halacha? Clearly not. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, when he formulated his argument with the Chachamim, he didn't say, you're all wrong. He always chayv. What did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say very, very specifically? Bazeh achar zeh. If and when it was done one after another, then and only then do I disagree. Then and only then do I claim that one person will be chayev, the last guy will be chayev. Clearly indicating that if it was bevas achas, he's on board with the Rabbanan. He agrees to the Rabbanan. And the question is, why should that be so? So even though we happen not to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it's important for us to understand his distinction, because that's really going to set into motion our entire sugya. So we're asking a very, very technical question within the one view that we don't paskin like. Within Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, why are the two following phenomena correct? According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's worldview, if it's bazeh chazeh, so it's the last fellow who causes the death, he's chayev, that's called nefesh adam, called who? But even according to Rabbi Beseira, multiple people at the same time, simultaneous, everyone gets off scot-free. So why the distinction? So if we take a look at the first of the Mar Makomos, on the line after the paragraph, so that line is Rashi. So Pturim, why is it that Pturim says Rashi she'ein yadua yadei min neharag? So Rashi says that the reason why, if you have multiple people hitting, why they all putter, for lack of a way to be mechayev them, it's pure technicality. They get off on a pure loophole, namely, who are you going to make chayev? who are you gonna make chayav bisa beis din? You have 10 people hitting at the same time. You never really know which hit was the one that actually caused the death of the person. We know that before the person was attacked, he was alive. Now Nebuch is dead. Somewhere in the interim, he died, but nobody knows Ruach HaKadosh. Nobody knows who's the one who did it. So therefore, Nebuch, we throw our hands up and say, we can't kill anybody. So therefore, says Rashi, according to the Rebbe, even though conceptually, logically, lumdus-wise, we don't really require kol, hakol mikol kol nefesh. Even a mikzas nefesh is enough, but we have no way of ascertaining who did the mikzas nefesh according to the view, even according to the view of Rabbi Noam Saver.
But isn't that always the case? I mean, practically speaking, if a person is multiply attacked, we don't know at what point he's going to die. He's not dead yet, and the next one hits him, and he's still not dead yet, etc., etc. But maybe after the first makkah, given an hour, he would die.
Oh, okay. So you're getting out of things. So you're saying not only is he not dead, but he would have died.
Yeah.
So the Gemara's going to talk about that. We're going to get to that's going to be a major part of the sugya, even when the view of the Chachamim. But at least if it's being done by Zeh Chazeh, we can make a statement saying he's not dead yet. What's going to happen, we don't know. So we could see when the ninth person hit him, he's in terrible shape, but he's still alive. The Koshi is alive. Tenth person hits him, 2 minutes later, we see he's dead. So obviously it's the tenth person who literally was the Rotzeach. Whereas if you have 10 people hitting simultaneously, we can't even say that. Then we have no idea who put him over the edge. So that's according to the view of Rashi, as appears in our Sugya Bava Kama Tefillin. However, if you go to the second of the Mamre Kamas, back to where the Gemara appears, the identical Gemara appears in Sanhedrin. So Rashi does not say something identical. The Gemara is identical, but Rashi's not. So if we take a look at the last paragraph of the second of the Mamre Kamas, Kol Duhu Nefesh, this is Rashi speaking, this is within Rabbi Yudah ben Biseira, Kol Duhu Nefesh, Afilu Miktsasa, Rabbi Yudah ben Biseira interpreted the pasuk of Kol Nefesh to mean even the smallest amount, Umiyu, nevertheless, and Rashi is coming almost to apologize to us to explain, so why is it that when they hit together, why when it's simultaneous blows, why is it that everyone's putter? So where is Rashi and Bava Kama fell back on a technicality and said, well, we don't know what to do, so therefore we can't punish anybody. Rashi here says something much more lumdish. Rashi and Sanhedrin says, Kol du nefesh ilu miktsasa, umiyu, heicha diku b'vas achas, lo katlinu mekulu. If all of them hit the person simultaneous, no one will get killed. The ish kiyake amarachamana, v'lo shnayim shehikuhu. A new p'tur, out of a poskim chumash, and there's a p'tur that the only time a retzeach is chayav is only if he's doing it, he's doing the entire makkah, he's doing the hakah. If he's doing it at the same time as other people, so not because logistically we technically we don't know who did the killing, even if we would have Ruach HaKodesh, we'd have a camera on, we'd be able to mamash mark exactly, it doesn't matter. Echad shehika v'lo shnayim shehikuhu. Now notice, Rashi and Rav Kama didn't say anything of the sort. Rashi fell back on pure technical grounds that we threw our hands up, we don't know who did the killing. But Rashi and Sanhedrin says much deeper than this. Rashi and Sanhedrin says, Alom the Shereason, Echa Shehika V'lo Shnayim Sheikuhu. And this is even within the world of Rabbi Yudah ben Biseira, that when they're hitting at the same time, that's called Shnayim Sheikuhu. Where did Rashi get this idea from? This is such a brand new concept that Shnayim Sha'asu is Potter. So this is not such a far-fetched concept. Rashi already saw this in other places. We have precedent for this in other areas of Halacha. First and foremost, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a Sugya Masechah Shabbos that speaks about multiple people doing Malacha. The Gemara speaks about, the Mishnah speaks about, what would the din be if you have an item that one person takes it to the street, takes it to an area which is a Rishus HaRabim. So if I carry something myself, I'm Chayef Skil, that's an Issa Deraisa. What if you have Shnayim Shotziu? What if you have two people carry something together? So two people walk out to the street holding a sefer together. So the Mishnah says, Pturin, they're both Potter. Why the Potter? Shnayim Shotziu. Two people did a Malacha together, so they're not going to be Chayef. So is that the same type of halacha? The Gemara learns it out from Sukkim. So is that the same type of halacha that Shnayim Shasu and Shabbos is Potter? And Arash is extrapolating and saying Shnayim Shirotzchu, Shnayim Shaharku is also Potter. So that may or may not be an identical halacha, depending on what you think about what it means in terms of Shnayim Shasu, in terms of Shabbos. There is a big machlekes aposkim within that sugya in Hilchos Shabbos, when you have two people doing something together. What is the nature of that p'tur? Is the nature of that p'tur because it's almost like kaliachayan. It's almost like something that's abnormal. It's something that's strange. A normal person wouldn't do it. So that's kind of why you're potter. Just as in Lucha Shabbos, if I carry something in my shoe, if I write with my left hand, if I do all kind of strange things, I'm going to be potter. So if I get somebody else to say, hey, listen, do me a favor, help me carry the sefer. No problem. The sefer is all this big. So that would be a very strange thing. So that's almost like an extension of the p'tur of kaliachayan, doing something in an abnormal fashion. If that's the pshat, so then it would be very, very hard to carry that over to Ritzicha. Would anybody ever say that if I kill somebody, Kaliyah Chayad, so I'm potter? Imagine the following defense in court. When they say to me, why'd you shoot the person? I shot him with my left hand. I didn't shoot with my right hand. It's very, very frum. It's like the guy in Shabbos. I'm a doctor, so I wrote with my left hand and my right hand. So somehow intuitively we realize that that's absurd. Why is that absurd? Let's play devil's advocate. Why is that so crazy? Why does that not make any sense? The reason why the notion of a shinoi of Kiliach Hayad makes sense in Hilchus Shabbos and really makes zero sense in Hilchus Ritzicha is a very, very simple, logical reason. When it comes to Hilchus Shabbos, what the Torah prohibits is the maisa malacha. What the Torah doesn't want you to do is to be involved in an action of writing, of carrying, of cooking, of plowing, of planting, etc. It's the maisa that really matters. Whether or not you're successful in your result, let's say a person works on Shabbos, does malacha on Shabbos, he plants on Shabbos, and then it turns out a few months later that the plan died. It never really succeeded anyway. He didn't really make too much out of it. So a guy decides to write on Shabbos. He writes, and then he writes an entire novel, and then it doesn't sell. So he's potter on Shabbos. I mean, it doesn't really matter what happens in the end. What matters is this a maisa malacha, a sasika malacha? So that's what the Torah says to us, that if you do something in an abnormal fashion, it's felt in the maisa, it's a chisard in the maisa. When it comes to Ritzicha, the mice is not really important. The Torah doesn't really care. Harai, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. You shoot the person, stab the person, choke the person, that doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, what matters is the person dead? At the end of the day, did you accomplish the result that you were trying to accomplish? So my nafkamina, whether you killed the person this way or killed the person that way. If the person ended up dying and you didn't do any maisa whatsoever, so that's a different story. That's what's called the grama. If Reuven kills Shimon through a very, very indirect way, so then you have to argue, well, he didn't really do anything. He did nothing. If a person gets up and says, I hope that you die, then the person dies. Wasn't a very nice thing to say, but in terms of is that a rotzeach? So if a person sets up some kind of a crazy thing that after 20 steps later, the person dies, that's called a degrama. And then technically speaking, the person indeed is Shemayim is held accountable, but in Beis and Shemata, obviously would be potter. So we're not so sure that we can immediately carry over the din of Shnayim Shesu'ah to the din of Shnayim Shesu'ah of Ritzicha, because in Hilchos Shabbos it may be closer to the model of Shinoi that may not lend itself to an extrapolation to Ritzicha. Maybe no. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe the nature of the din of Shnayim Shesu'ah and Hilchos Shabbos has nothing to do with Kaliyach Hayad. Kaliyach Hayad is one din, and Shnayim Shesu'ah is a different din. Two different bashas, two different sugyas. They're not related to one another. There's a halacha that in order to be chayav and Shabbos, you have to do it alone. If you do it with somebody else, you're going to be potter. So maybe that similar notion carries over to Ritzicha as well. So it's not clear whether there should or should not be a link between the two, but there's no question that Rashi and Sanhedrin is invoking this idea of Shnayim Shesu'ah, whereas Rashi Bava Kama completely ignored it. Hell, that's not true. The only reason why the simultaneous hitters are potter is just logistically we have no way of ascertaining who actually did the final Ritzicha. Is there any difference la halacha? At the end of the day, the person is everyone's going to be potter. My nafkamina, whether the person is potter because we can't figure out who did it, or the person is potter because halachically he did it together with somebody else. So there is a potential real difference between the two, and it revolves around how to read a gemara, the third of the marmakamos. Now we come back a little bit to the Nidiga. We had a little bit of a tour into Sanhedrin. Now we come a little bit back closer to home, closer to Bava Kama. So yeah. So the third of the marmakamos, Bava Kama daf din gimel amud beis. Amar Rava, shor v'adam shedachfu lebor. So it's like combining everything we've been learning for the last 10 months all into one shot. You have a animal and a person that together push somebody into a bor. So you have three potential people to hold responsible. You have the Baal HaShor, maybe held responsible because he did a little bit of the pushing. You have the Adam, who may be held responsible because he did a little bit of the pushing also. Then you have the Boar that may be held. The Baal HaBoar may be held responsible because at the end of the day, he's the one who dug a pit in the middle of the street. So how does all this play out? So the Gemara says, L'inyan nizikin kulon chayavin. So if we're talking about just dollars and cents, that somebody got hurt, so then any and all of the above are chayef and nizkei adam. If my shore damages your person, so a baal shore has to pay. If I as a person damage a person, I have to pay. If a boar damages a person, I have to pay. When we say that shore for the adam, that means if a person dies in a boar, there's no chayef for the baal boar. But if a person falls and breaks his leg, then of course the Mishnah says explicitly the baal boar would be chayef to pay. So in this case, when the shor, the adam, and the boar, everybody contributes together to the damage, so then theoretically you have to split the bill. All of them are going to be chayev. What about the inyan arba'a devarim? What if we're dealing with not just pure damages, but we're dealing with a person got hurt in such a way, that now there are doctor bills, and now there's embarrassment, he's got to take off from work, and there's pain. So we call the four things addition to nezek. Nezek, tzaripa, shevis, and boshes. So then we have to split the payment a little bit different. Or let's say udmei v'lados. What if a pregnant woman was the one who got pushed in and it caused her a miscarriage? That's a whole other kind of tashlumin called udmei v'lados. We have to pay the value of what the fetuses were worth. So how do you cheshbon out which of these parties to this crime are obligated to pay? So again, we have three potential people to go after. So the lawyers are looking who are we going to go after? Are we going to go after the shore? We're going to go after the other? We're going to go after the bar? So when it came to the Zikin, we'll sue them all, go after all of them, they're all responsible. When it comes to the Arba Devarmit, the Mayflod, that's not so simple. Go after everybody, right. So the first case, you're good to go. But in the next two cases, the Arba Devarmit, the Mayflod, so then don't go after all three because you're not going to get a penny out of them. Adam Chayev, Shor, Bar Potter. So the Adam, the person who threw the woman into the pit, or the person who threw the man into the pit, and now his arm got hurt, and you have to pay, and that's like Tzarek, Mishav, Simboshes. So it makes sense to go sue the Adam, to go after the person who did it, because an Adam, Hamazik, is Chayev for the five things, and an Adam, Hamazik, is Chayev for the Beif Lodos. However, don't bother going after the Shor, with the Baal Shor's Potter. When a shore damages a person, you just have to pay damage. You don't have to pay doctor's bills. You don't have to pay shevis, boshes. None of those chiyuvim apply. Those chiyuvim only apply when an adam hachova bechaveiro. So you're not going to go after the shore. You're not going to get a penny out of the baal shore for those other things. Or for the dmei vlados, the Torah says, if two people are fighting and a person causes dmei vlados, then the person is going to have to pay. If my shore causes a miscarriage, we feel terrible, but you can't come after me. You're not going to be able to sue me for anything, because the Torah doesn't introduce the passion of Mevlados, except if it's an Adam who's the perpetrator. So therefore, Rava tells us that when you have these multiple mazikin, sometimes you can go after all three, and sometimes you can't. So for the zikin, you can sue all three. For the other chiyuv of the Mevlados and Arba Dvarim, you can only go after the Adam. Then Rava continues, L'inyan kofo shloshim shaleven. What about if a person fell into the boar and then never the person dies? So who are we going to go after in order to pay kofar? Kofar is the amount that if a shor kills a person, so it was a shor mua, and if he did it more than three times, so the baal shor has to pay kofar, the value of the victim or the value of the owner of the shor. Or shloshim shalevet. Shloshim shalevet is the parallel to kofar. If the victim wasn't ever Kanani, then the Torah sets a set amount of 30 shekel. Doesn't matter whether the person was worth $1 million or worth a penny. That's the kachnem halacha. It's exerced the cost of the pay shloshim shaleven. So kofar and shloshim shaleven, who are you going to go after? So here Rava says shor chayev, go after the owner of the shor. Other bar p'tur, don't bother going after the person, or don't go bother going after the balabar, for the very simple reason that these people are potter from kofar. Kofar and shloshim shaleven only apply when it's the shor shehemis. Don't apply when it's an adam hamemis, and don't apply when it's a bar shehemis. So basically, what Rava just told us is three sets of halachas. The basic underlying principle is very, very simple. Sue everybody, whoever you think you can get money from. If you can't get money from them, don't waste your time suing them. So when it comes to the Zikin, go after all three, because all three of them are chayav. When it comes to Arba Dvar B'dmei Vladas, only go after the Adam, because that he's the only one you can get anything from. When it comes to the Kofar and Shom Shalevet, the only one you should go after is the Baal HaShor, because the Adam and the Boar are going to be potter. So what's important for our purposes is as follows. In this last case of a Reuven and an ox pushed Shimon into a boar, so the Baal HaShua, the owner of the ox, will be held responsible for paying kofar. So that's the part that's important for us, because this is almost like two people killing together. Here it's not two people killing together. Here it's a shore and an adam killing together. And there will be a chi of kofar, not to be paid by the adam. Adam never pays kofar, but the shore will be held responsible to pay kofar. So comes Tosus with the Lom D'Shashan, the fourth of the Rambam comes Tosus and says, they need kofar shalom shal evet shurachavim toimer. Vashor pata bimisa. Forget kofar for a second. Will the shore be killed like a shore nisko? If an animal kills somebody, so the animal's chayamisa. The only problem is, the Gemara says that an animal is only chayamisa, kemisa sabaylam kachmisa sashor. The Torah says, hashor yisokev gabol of yumas, that the same way that if Reuven kills somebody, Reuven's chayamisa, if Reuven shore kills somebody, Reuven shore is chayamisa as well. All the dinim, all the details, all the pturim of an adam haratzeach carry over to a shore in the sense of ratzeach as well. So would this person have been chayamisa? So let's take it out of a shore and another for a second. If you had two people pushing somebody simultaneously into the boar, would the pusher be chayav? Would the adam shehemis be chayav? The answer is, well, that's our sugya. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira in the Rabban. So comes Tosfos and says, let's go back to Tosfos again. V'im toimer. V'ashor pot v'misa. In this scenario where the shore killed somebody together with an adam, Kevan shu huva adam dachavo, davik bo yisura ikua sabre adam v'esa machlos v'sachas v'ikol potter. Says it's the same as two people hitting somebody at the same time with a stick that you potter. Even Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira said you potter. V'kevan delo mechayev misa. Since a parallel case of two people killing somebody, neither would be chayev misa. Therefore, there's no chayev misa for the adam. In our scenario, there would be no chiyah misa for the shore. And if there's no chiyah misa for the shore, then lo mechayev koifer. Then there wouldn't be a chiyah of koifer either. Because the liyel break dal b'hei mashma, the rabbis feel like a rabbi, the yomar, the eina shor b'skila, eina bar m'shalman koifer. That the rava happens to hold, it's b'chlekes in the gemara, rava happens to hold, that koifer only kicks in when the shore is literally put to death. If the shore is not chiyah misa, then there's a freebie, then there's no chiyah to pay koifer. So Tosfos says, we're in a corner now. He said, how could Rava describe Reuven and a shore pushing Shimon into the boar? And how could we talk about the Baal HaShor paying kofar? The Baal HaShor would not be chayev misa. The other would not be chayev misa. Therefore, the shore would also not be chayev misa. If the shore is not chayev misa, then it's not going to be chayev kofar. So Tosfos is in a corner. Says Tosfos, v'nira, says Tosfos, mitchila v'atzof, we misread the case. We misunderstood Rava's talking about. When we read Rava, shore v'adam shadachvu lebor, we thought they were working together. We thought it was a shore and an adam that ganged up on a person and threw him into the boar. Not true, says Tosfos. What shore v'adam shadachvu lebor means, case number one, a shore pushes someone into a boar. Case number two, a different boar, different person, different victim. An adam pushes somebody into a boar. So that's what Rava was telling us, that in the case of the shore, the din's going to be X, Y, and Z. In the case of the adam, the din's going to be A, B, and C. But Rava is not even talking about the illustration we gave. We gave this grandiose case of a shore and an adam, then gagging up on a person, kicking him into the boar, and he's dying, who's held responsible. You get the whole thing wrong, says there's no Shtayim Shesuah here. There's nobody here. It's one person, case number one, and then turn the page, case number two, and therefore Rava's discussion is completely irrelevant to our machlokes in Rabbi Rabbi Seir and Rabban. So, notwithstanding Tosfos Teretz, many Rishonim disagreed with Tosfos because it doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. All of a sudden, I needed Rava and Rav Kamadaf and Gimel to tell me that if you push somebody into a boar, the din is such and such. We know that already. Rava's coming to tell us this very creative case, this very wild case, this very exciting case of Adam with the shore ganging up, throwing to the boar, multiple suing, all kind of different lawsuits going on. It sounds in the Gemara that the Gemara is talking about what we thought it was talking about, and therefore Tosfos Teretz is difficult to understand. So hopefully, Beit Hashem will have to see on Friday where the Rashba had a radically different understanding of the sugya, and ultimately it's going to boil down to some of the things we were talking about in terms of multiple people hitting. how this all plays out in terms of the two Rashi's that we started off with on Bishop on Friday. We'll try to pick up the sugi from this point.